I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here to worship with you. If we still have young kids, there's a handout for you to kind of follow along some of the things that I'm talking about. It's right out there in the foyer. Go grab one and fill that out. If you can answer those questions and complete that, I've got a special little treat for you right up at my seat, so see me right after services. Adults, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And I'm kind of fighting a little bit of an allergy, so I've got a drink here that hopefully will wet my whistle and keep me going this morning. But I want to continue this topic of shared vision, of understanding really what God is calling us to do and to be. And we have started this year with this vision. Let me go back here. There we go. With this vision, with teaching and training, we, the South Fork family, we aim to invest our three treasures, our three resources. That's our time and our talent and our treasure in life with the Father, Son, and Spirit, so that the whole church is empowered and equipped to share the whole gospel with the whole world. Now, Jesus would say it this way in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 36. A teacher, which is the greatest command of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I want us to understand this shared vision that we as a church family have, understanding what Jesus is saying as well, this idea of loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, loving our neighbor as ourselves, putting all of these things together so that we are flying in the same and similar direction. Like a marching band that goes out, they all have their own instruments, but they are marching in unison. They are walking in step. They are performing something that is both audible and visual and appealing. This idea that Jesus is speaking to us about, of loving God and loving others as ourselves, is really two challenging perspectives from our human point of view. And this morning, I want us, as we continue this conversation from last week, to continue to dive in, to help us to understand, to grab on to these two things, so that our life will be aligned and going in a direction, as Owen was talking about, that we would grow up to be these oaks of righteousness, that there is a path that Christ is giving to us that is for our betterment and for God's glory. The things that we are to do in our life really should give honor and glory to God. But it should be connecting with one another. But how often is our life somewhat off, somewhat imbalanced, where the perspective becomes about me, and the result becomes something that is disconnecting from others? I want to share with you this Latin phrase, coram Deo. It means the idea of the presence of God. It brings us into understanding of our daily life, our moment by moment, coram Deo. I hope this will be a phrase that will ring in your head throughout this week, that will remind you of this principle. We are to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and keeping our mind attuned to this. It brings to mind three things. Number one, His presence. That God is with us always. Christ says, I will be with you always, even until the very end of the age. God has promised that His Spirit would live in us. It would empower us. It would equip us for the moments of challenge and need. His presence is with us. Think about that for just a moment, because many of us already have in our mind right now the worry and concern about tomorrow, don't we? that Monday's work is going to be a challenge. That somewhere in this week, there's going to be a conversation. There's going to be something that has already got us a little bit on edge. I want you to remember Coram Deo, the presence of God. He is with you. He is with you. Doesn't that change the outlook and the direction of where we're going? Do you really seek to see him throughout the day? Jesus says, as often as you did this to the least of these, as you served, as you gave clothes, as you gave food, you did it to me. Do we really see God even in every moment? Not just the blessings, but the opportunities of service or sacrifice or challenge. The second idea of this Coram Deo is his authority, that God is with us, that he's already empowered us to become victors in this world, even though it's going to be a victor that's different than how the normal world would look at that. We are going to lay down our life. We are going to pick up our cross. We are going to share in his suffering. But we also walk with his authority. Think back to the story of David and Goliath. As David is a young boy coming to visit his brothers, he comes out and he sees the army of Israel stumped. They are stuck because there is this giant in front of him. And every day he comes out and he mocks them and he mocks their God, our God. And David says, wait a minute. Have you forgotten? Do you not remember who our God is? And there with great confidence, with great authority, this young man who has not risen in the ranks of any military training, he steps forward and he remembers all the things that God has done for him. I want to ask you this morning, as you prepare for this week, are you living in the presence of God? Do you live with the authority of God that he has called you to be something different? To be a light in this dark world, to stand up for those that are in suffering or shame or neglect. And last but not least, it's going to result in his glory. Not our fame, not our name, not our recognition, but our glory. Or God's glory, not our glory. I was humbled this morning in our Bible class as Scott was sharing with us a challenging subject of asking us to pray for, remember our leaders, homes, marriages, children, jobs, as they continue to be lights and leaders, examples within our congregation and within the world. Somebody shared a story of meeting somebody else who only knows one of our shepherds in a business setting. And how much they appreciate, how much they see his godly nature living out. Giving recognition, really more to God, over this person's attributes and faith. Living in the presence of God means the things that we do. We strive to live with authority and purpose, but also that he would get the glory. John the Baptist, as he's recognizing Christ the Lamb, the one coming, he says, he must become greater and I must become less. As we are in the presence of God, do we feel that great sense of awe and humility? John wasn't saying that Christ should become more as he just kind of slips back and goes into retirement, as he just goes fishing a little bit. And steps out of the limelight. He's already accomplished his job. No, he's saying, I must become less. Even as I promote Christ, Christ is going to get the recognition. I want to ask us this week, as we take Christ's two commandments here, that he says are the greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind. Are we really bringing that into our daily life? Does that really change the way that we act and speak? Are we living with his authority and direction? Now, this shared vision of God and what his purpose is challenging for us. Because on one hand, he's calling us to love him even more. And the more you know about God, the more you realize how great and awesome and powerful he really is. And the fact that he desires to have a relationship, the desire to redeem us and reform us, is so exciting and awe-inspiring. But then he also says, we're to love others as ourselves. To pay attention to those other people around you. I mean, just look around the room and we got to love these people as ourselves. And this is not just a suggestion. This is what Christ says is the second most important thing. Like, you may get church attendance perfect, but if you miss this one, you've really messed up. You may get church attire just right, but if you get this one wrong, you've really messed up. You know, there are many people who go to church on a regular basis. Like, they go to a church building, you know, at the churchy time, on the churchy day, with the churchy people, and then they go out to eat, and they don't act like Christ. Do you know that many of the help staff on Sundays hate? Is that too strong of a word? You churchy people who show up with your bulletins to get 10% off and you don't give a good tip, you're not polite, you're not kind, you just walked out and you haven't treated anybody like Jesus has just said, love others as yourself. And it's not a suggestion. He's saying everything is hanging on this. Let's pay attention to what he's really saying. I want to share with you five things that are going to help us to really love others as we love ourselves. As we really pay attention to this, because God is saying, I love you. I really do care about you. I really want the best for you. And I want the best for you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. God has this specific, personal, corporate vision that goes out to all of his humanity, all of his mankind, all of his creation. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Church folks, if we are missing these two things, to love God and to love others even as ourselves, then our thoughts are somewhere else. Our thoughts are on something stingy. And guess what? We're going to become stingy. If our thought is only on entertainment, guess what? That becomes a consumer mindset, and that's all that we will be. But if our thought is really on God, then may we reflect that in the way that we live. Five things that I think we can do to love others as ourselves, biblically addressing the way that we live our life. The first one is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, tells us something very unique. It says, instead, speak the truth in love, and we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speak the truth in love. We live in a generation in which speaking out for the things that are right is condemned. It seems harsh and forced and judgmental and destructive. And maybe that's because the way we speak, not what we're saying, but the way we're saying it, comes across in the wrong manner. Jesus spoke in a way that a variety of sinners were drawn to him. Is that the way we speak in our Bible classes? Is that the way we speak, preacher, from the pulpit? Is that the way we speak on Facebook or in our emails and private conversations? Speak the truth. Yeah. But he says, speak it in love. We've all been in those situations, right, where somebody has been a jerk to us. And the right response back to a jerk is, no. The right response back to a jerk is something more akin to how Christ dealt with things. But yet in our social media, in our relationships with one another, we strike out. We say what is needed to say. We say it in a time that is needed to be said. And we don't care about someone else's feelings. We don't care about their response. I'm just going to let you know that if what you continue to do, you're just going to go straight to hell. And we draw our line and we cut the relationship. But Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4, he says this, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds up in love as each part does its work." First thing I want to challenge us is as we speak truth, don't just be silent in this world. We need lights in this world. Don't hide under a bushel, but stand out and be a light for Christ. But as we speak that, how do we speak that we're drawing people in, that we are connecting with them and encouraging them in a way that is beneficial? If you're finding the way that you're speaking is segmenting or dropping off relationships, maybe you are not speaking fully in truth and love. I want to challenge us to think about that first aspect. Jesus would also say that we are to go the second mile. Now, Jesus gives this great and disturbing example of soldiers who are compelling normal people, regardless of what their calendar and their life looks like. Help me. Carry my bags, do this. And they are having a thumb on the back of the Israelites, but still this rule remains. And Jesus says, don't just follow this rule, but go the second mile. I want to share with you something that we often don't understand. Is when you go the second mile, you have started to walk because you have a higher power than the one who thinks they're in power. When you go the second mile, you are living by a different authority in your life. But you know what our world will tell us? It's my schedule. It's my time. I did enough for you. Back off. Do what is right. Do what is fair. Do the minimum that you need to, and then get out of there because you've got other things to accomplish. But Christ says, go the second mile. Not just with the boss who might give you a pay raise or a new promotion or a bonus at the end of the quarter. Go the extra mile with that person that you might even call an enemy in your life, a great frustration. In doing so, you will learn to really love God with more of your heart, with more of your mind. And you will learn to love others more like you want to be loved yourself. Number three, we call this the golden rule. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, that we are to do to others as we want to be, have done to us. As we would prefer things done to us, we should do them to others. So not only is this an obligation to go the second mile, but it's a requirement to pay attention to how do I want to be treated, Matt? How do I want people to respond to me when I am grumpy, when I'm grouchy, when I give late requests or urgent demands? How do I want people to respond to me? Then pay attention, and that's what I'm going to put in place. Now, our world will call this karma, that what positive vibes we put out there are going to come back to us. Jesus would say, the way you sow is the way you're going to reap. If you are treating others with neglect and hate, devaluing, you probably are going to find that coming back to you. God is saying this, love me with all your heart, for I will take care of all your needs. Treat those that are around you, even when they don't treat you like you want to be treated, treat them like you want to be treated. And our world says there's no way that that's going to work out. And Jesus says, trust me, I know it will. And we look at the example of Jesus on the cross and we say it is so awe-inspiring. It's so humbling that he could be there on the cross and he could say, Father, forgive them in that moment. And I want to follow Christ. But God, don't make me love people when they're not being lovely to me. But God, would you make people love me when I'm not being so lovely? See, God's calling us to be a light in this dark world. To go the second mile, to treat people better than they deserve. Because we have been treated better than we deserve. So this next one really is a challenge. Because Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, if I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, and it does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no records. I just want you to know how often I have gone the extra mile for my family and they didn't recognize it. So I'm going to stop doing that. I want you to know how far I've gone for my husband. I have cooked meals and done it. Love keeps no record. Just put a period right there. Love keeps no record. It's not the fact that we were always harmed, but sometimes we were neglected in the love aspect of things. How many of us have stopped being a light in our community because we didn't get back the respect or the appreciation or the notoriety that was deserved? How many of us have stopped in our role as a good helper or a good spouse or a good friend because we have been keeping a record of what has been coming back to us? Stop preaching, Matt. The last one is so challenging. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love others as yourself. He's building us up. He's not tearing us down. He's drawing our attention to his very nature, because our God is an awesome God. Amen? That our God... Oh, shoot. Roman, would you help me clean this up? Hey, Roman, would you help me clean this up? Roman, this right here. Would you help me clean this up? This right here. We're going to have our own full-length video coming out soon. How many of us treat God like that? He's going in the right direction to help us. He's going to do exactly what we've asked him to do. God, help me in this situation. But because we're standing here in our need and our urgency, and God goes to get the people, the friends, the finances, the setup to be just right, we don't pay attention to God. In fact, we feel slighted by God. We feel like God has gone the opposite direction, don't we? But God did exactly what a loving God would do. Thank you. God went the extra mile. God went even when we weren't treating Him like we should. Listen to what is said about God in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. This is the God that we're called to love just a little bit more. Not a little bit more, a lot bit more. With all of our heart, soul, and mind. Full body, full intention. Now this is how God has loved you. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Our God is gracious, and He has been gracious with you, with me. Are we really paying attention to the God who is our God? Or are we wanting to strive and live and influence others in a way that is not godly, God-like, Christ-like? God was gracious to us. Yet, when you do something wrong to me, I don't have to really be all that gracious, do I? When I'm not doing exactly as you think I should, maybe we should just let them know and make it known. I know that's not exactly how God would do it, but that's what we need to do in this situation. Isn't that what we need to do with that generation or this generation in this situation or that situation? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your mind and your soul. And love others as yourself. God is gracious. Will you be gracious too? Will you speak truth in love? Will you go the second mile this week? Not just for your friends or those people who could pay you back, but maybe even for an enemy. Would you do to others really as you would prefer them to do to you? And will you keep a record of wrongs and rights, a tally marks and scorecard? Or will you turn that all over to Him? Would you dare be gracious like God? For He was gracious to us. Zig Ziglar says that life is like an echo. What you send out comes back. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you get. What you see in others exists in you. So remember, life is an echo and it always gets back to you. And Jesus says, then let's start with the most important. Let's love the Lord with all of our time, talent, and treasure. Let's give Him everything we've got. And let's love others as we love ourselves, as He's loved us. If there's anything that we can do to encourage you in this path, in this journey, our shepherds are standing by and they would love to talk to you and pray with you. Our office is open throughout the week. If you would like to dedicate your life to Christ right now in baptism, our baptistry is ready for that. There's no moment to waste anymore. He is calling us to this fundamental, high priority of living. Let's make Him our number one. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take